Tonight, I want to talk about the Capital City Baptist Church, and I'm not going to preach an expository message tonight. I want to preach topically a little bit tonight concerning the church and what they're doing, and really what Heritage Baptist Church should be doing, and to be able to start this church as well as others as the Lord would allow. And I want to use the Church of Jerusalem for our pattern tonight. And by the way, we could preach expository from Acts number 2, because all the things, ingredients to a church are 7 ingredients to what a church is supposed to have in them in the passage that we're going to read here. I'm not going to preach that tonight, but I want to talk about the Capital City Baptist Church and the start of it. Again, it's coming very, very quickly. Look at your Bible now, Acts number 2. Let's pick it up in verse number 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The Bible says this. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now, church family, we can't have a debate or a discussion tonight about when the church started tonight. I'm just going to tell you, I believe Jesus Christ started the church. I've always believed that. And I know that people come under the teaching of other people saying, well, the church started on the day of Pentecost in Acts number 2. My biggest thought concerning that is, how do you add to something that was not already there? I still can't comprehend that. I know people probably got reasoning why they think the church started. And by the way, I don't think it's something to divide over. I think if you did have that thought, that you think it started on the day of Pentecost, it's not going to change the fact we're still going to the same heaven, all right? Now, your mansion will not be where mine is, but we're still all going to the same heaven, okay? You know, some things are just, you know, it's like what he said in the New Testament. He said, "Foolish and unlearned questions avoid." There are certain things Christians should not be arguing about, all right? And if it's not spelled out in Scripture, we're going to know when we get to heaven, amen? There's a whole lot more things that are spelled out that we should make what's major, and not this. But this idea of the church starting, I think Jesus Christ started the church. And I think that in Acts number 2, the church that was started was with the 12 apostles. And by the way, one of those was a lost person. Try to wrap your mind around that one. And then, of course, it grew in Acts chapter number 1. You find out there were 120 in the upper room. And that there's a number. There was 120. That church was established. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were added. Obviously, this thing is growing. Acts 4, 5, and 6, you're going to find 4,000 people believed. And then you're going to find out later, 5,000. You're going to find multitude, then multitudes, then greatly multiplied. This church in Jerusalem continued to grow. And I think it is a pattern for us as far as what kind of churches we have. In fact, when we say, I go to a Baptist church should be the pattern of the New Testament church. That's what it should be, all right? Church family, I think that if you were not going to a church that you felt like followed the pattern of the New Testament church, then I would go find a church that's following that pattern. I think that we should believe strongly enough that the Word of God gives us what a church is supposed to be, a called out assembly. And you're not, I know so much thinking along this line. I'm not proud to be a Baptist. I'm proud to be a Christian. Now, that doesn't go over well with these people who, you know, And again, you've heard the statements used by other people. Please don't stone me. It's not a matter of being a big B Baptist. It's a matter of following what the Bible says about what kind of church you ought to go to. And so it's not denominational. The word denomination just simply means name. What's the name of the kind of church that you go to? That's denominational. I think that we have gotten so confused with this idea of churches because we've made church a production instead of making church what it's supposed to be, and that's worship. We've come to worship him. That's why we have his word. In the beginning was the word. Jesus is the word. We've come to worship him. We've come to take the word of God so that we can take it in and apply it to our lives so that when we leave here, that we'd be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about social programs. It's not about activities. And by the way, activities, there's nothing wrong with having activities. But we've got to keep the focus on what it's about. This church does not belong to a man or to a denomination or even to a congregation. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the head of the church, and he should get the preeminence in the church in all of our lives. And by the way, not just when you're inside this building, as we call the church, but when you leave the doors of the church, he ought to have the preeminence in your life. We ought to want to do his will for our life more than we want to do our will for our life. And we fail miserably when it comes to that. This was a great church, Church of Jerusalem. Let's read about it quickly tonight. Look at verse number 42. Here's the description. There's again, it's sevenfold, and I'm going to purposely not go through the 7 tonight because I don't think that's the thought tonight. But in verse 42 through verse 47, he says, "In this church at Jerusalem, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Look what else it says about the church in verse 44. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Church, I think we would all have to say undeniably, that's a pretty good church. And by the way, that church, even though what we've read that God has given us to allow, can I just tell you that there were human beings at that church, which means there were problems there. Which means there were people who were not always living in the spirit. They were living in the flesh. There were people in those churches that said things that they shouldn't say that were offensive. There were people in this type of church, Jerusalem, that dressed like the world, lived like the world, but yet they still came to church. By the way, the church is a hospital, not a social club. There's not a dress code to come to church. There's not a, you know, you got to dress a certain way to be a part of a church. Can I just tell you, the church of Jerusalem, they had individuals who were growing in their faith. None of us have reached the pinnacle of our Christianity. Nobody has reached that pinnacle yet. You've not gotten to the place where every thought is a good thought. You've never gotten to the place where every word is a good word. That's because we don't have our glorified body yet. And so we come as sinners. Yes, saved by the grace of God, we come together as sinners so that we can grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and understand what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to raise our family, how I'm supposed to be the proper godly spouse to my spouse, and how I'm supposed to fulfill God's will as far as getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. All of that comes together as far as a church. There are no perfect churches. There's only a perfect Savior. But that's what we've come to worship, the perfect Savior. This was a great church. I've had people talk about our church. I was just talking to somebody this week, and they had made the statement that, knowing of our church, not members here, knowing our church, that Heritage Baptist Church, referring to us as a great church. In fact, their statement again was, which I've heard more than once over the 27 years of being here, that Heritage was an oasis in the desert. And I always cringe when somebody says Heritage is an oasis in the desert, because somehow over the time it ceases to be the oasis. And I want to tell you why that happens is because you have sinners that have come together to grow in their faith, and sometimes we're not always grown like we should be, and so we say and do things we shouldn't, and it causes offense. But I understand that there are great churches out there. Sometimes we make that statement of a great church in reference to the people. And by the way, church family, I'm biased, but I think you're a great people. And I know God knows your heart. And I think God knows exactly what you are. And I'm not here to butter you up, but I'm just thankful that God gave you to me and me to you. And I purposely, and I even correct myself if I ever to say you're my people, because you're not my people, you're God's people. I'm just thankful to be a part of his plan. I think sometimes we look at a church and we say that's a great church because of its people. I think sometimes we say a great church is based upon the preacher. I think sometimes a person comes, and I always get a kick out of a person who comes to a church, they've never been to our church, they've never been here before, and they sit in a service, and they sit in the one service where I didn't say anything that was offensive. I know that was one service. They come to a church service and they're encouraged, and the Spirit of God works in that particular service, and they think, man alive, that's a great church, and they base it upon one sermon or what of the preacher was that was preaching. Sometimes a person says it's a great church is based upon its outreach. We say, man, that's a great church because they've got a nursing home ministry, they've got a prison ministry, they've got a bus ministry, they've got a Sunday school ministry, they've got all these outreaches. And they say, well, that's a good church because they're making an impact on the community. And we refer to that as a great church. I think sometimes a person makes comments concerning a great church based upon the services. Have you ever gone to a church when you're out visiting? And sometimes you're at a church and you feel like you're at a funeral home. And then there's other times that you end up at a church and it seems like it's lively. And I'm not talking about a fleshly lively. I'm talking about a spiritual liveliness. That when the congregation sang how great thou art, it's like God was there. Sometimes we say it's a great church because of the services. And so many times we look at the outward of what's going on at a church to say that that's a great church. And tonight, I want the Capital City Baptist Church to be referred to as the Great Capital City Baptist Church. I want it to be a great church. But church family, I want you to know it's not going to be a great church because this church started it. It's not going to be a great church because of Brother Obshindig, though he's a great man. It's not going to be a great church because we're sending some of our great members. That's not what makes a great church. And by the way, this is not a pinpointed message to Brother Mr. Johnson or Brother Mr. Cornwall or Brother Mr. Obsendek tonight, not at all. I believe that the capital city, and I mean this, I believe the Capital City Baptist Church is going to be a great church. Amen. I believe that. But church family, the same thing that's going to make Capital City Baptist Church a great church is the same thing that's going to make Heritage Baptist Church a great church. Amen. What makes a great church is a great God. It is undeniable that what has taken place at the Capital City Baptist Church thus far, and very soonly becoming the autonomous in its own church, that the things that have happened thus far is God. It's undeniable. It's undeniable as you look at all of the things that have taken place. I wrote a month or so back a short timeline. It was actually for Brother Obsendek. He was asking me the history of the church and how things came together. And thinking about God's timing of it all, almost 3 years ago, in the summer of 2019, the Lord started putting on my heart about starting a church in Topeka, and I really felt like the Lord was going to have us to do it, and that was 3 years ago. And then all of a sudden, in November of 2019, a church planter who I did not know showed up at our church and said, "Hey, listen, I'm a church planter from Georgia, and I'm going to start a church in Topeka." And to be honest with you, God had already been dealing with me in that summer of 2019. I thought, man, great, we don't have to do it now. We'll be glad to help you. I was keeping in contact with that church planter in 2019, and he from what I understood, was sold his house in Georgia, and he had put a contract on a house in Topeka, and just on the outskirts of Topeka, and he was going to come here. And a couple months later, he gives me a call, and he says, "I just want you to know, we didn't take that house, and we're not coming." It was in November 2019, church planter in Georgia, June 2020, the church planter from Georgia told me he wasn't going to come. And I remember the time frame of all this in June 2020. In October of 2020, I told the church family, it was a church service, and it might have been an evening service on a Sunday night. And I told the church family, I said, "Listen, I really believe the Lord wants us to start a church. I thought this fellow was coming. He's not going to come. I believe the Lord wants us to start." That was in October of 2020. On January 30th of 2021, a few months later, the men of our church went to look at two different buildings in Topeka, one being the dentist office, and then the building next door, and the men went through both of those. On June the 1st of 2021, we had purchased the dentist office and started plans for a remodel, still not knowing who was going to come pastor that church. And if you remember correctly, you had a card, and on that card it said, "Pray for the church plant in Topeka," and it talked about a place and a person, of course, the pastor of the church. There's one more P on there, if I remember correctly. But we were praying for the Lord to bring somebody to pastor that church. In August the 6th in 2021, Brother Mark Obsendek brought his family here for the first time, and we talked about him coming as pastor. It was just a week or so later, and he could say for certain that he gave me a call and said, "Yes, the Lord wants us to come to Topeka, Kansas." On October 2021, Brother Mark and his family moved and joined the Heritage Baptist Church. On March the 6th of 2022, Capital City Baptist Church had their first service on a Sunday morning. Next Sunday on May 1st, 2022, Capital City will have their grand opening with all of the services. Church, I mean, when you look at the timeline of things, I don't know how you see things, and I know you're just listening tonight, but I'm just trying to tell you, God's timing of this thing was God. This wasn't just something we planned that we're going to start. God had a time of how all of this was supposed to be worked out, and maybe not our timing. Goodness, when we think about almost 3 years ago this summer is when this thing, was the seed for this was to begin, and I think it took 3 years, but in God's timing, 3 years was nothing for the Lord. But the Lord, every step of the way, made things that happen. Church, I mean, have you ever thought about if we would have never taken the first step of, we're going to start a church, and the second step of, let's go buy a building, and the third step of, let's start remodeling this building, would the Lord have ever brought Brother Obsendek even here? I'm just trying to say that God's hand has been in this whole thing. And what's going to make Capital City Baptist Church a great church is not because of people, but because of a great God. When you think about God's provision to starting this church, church family, the building in Topeka for that dentist office was supposed to be $120,000. They sold it to us for $60,000. When we purchased the building, it was very interesting because the realtor that sold the building that was representing the other person after we bought it gave us a check for $1,000 and said, "I'm glad you're starting a church there and I want to be a part of it." Amen. Brother Denny, a member of our church, an electrician, has spent countless hours, and God has worked to donate so much of the lighting as far as it was donated in materials. When you think about our church purchased chairs for this auditorium, and after we purchased them and started using them, the people that we got the pews from said, oh, by the way, we forgot to tell you, we have matching chairs to those pews. God knew that we needed those chairs for the Capital City Baptist Church, and that's why they were purchased ahead of time. When you think about all of the churches that are supporting not just the church plant, but Brother Obshindik as the church planter, how many people have supported it? It's beyond my imagination of people who not just knew him, but knew us. And just because they knew us, hey, we want to support that. Amen. Can I just tell you, that's not this church, that's God. Amen. All the different people who have sent finances in. Dear church family, you have sacrificed. And again, God sacrificed, because what we have is his, is not our own. And God uses that. But he's used people who are not even here. We have an interest in it because we want to see that church started because out of this church. But I'm talking about people who are not here. How does that happen? It's God's provision. You read in the Bible when it talks about King Cyrus and how King Cyrus, when he became king after 7 years of the Babylonian captivity, that King Cyrus, how the Bible says God stirred his heart and he said, listen, I'm going to make a proclamation. Any Israelites that would like to go back to Israel and Jerusalem and go back there, I'll even provide for you to go. Why did that happen? Because God stirred his heart. You ever thought about how many people had been stirred for the moving of this particular church to start? The moving of our own church to be able to start this church. The moving of God's people to give to a church to where we didn't even have a pastor to be able to pastor that church. To begin to move in Brother Obshindik's heart to who has never even been here before. He didn't come. First time he was here, he stepped foot here, was in August. And then he moves his family here in October. The moving of God in a person's heart in order for this, what makes a church great is not the people. Those are just instruments of a great God. God is the one that has done what has happened, and God is the one that gets the glory, but God will continue to move. And can I just tell you, it doesn't matter if it's the Capital City Baptist Church or if it's the Heritage Baptist Church. The only way you have a great church is if you've got a great God behind it. Brother and Sister Johnson, Brother and Sister Cornwell, when we came to the church, to the church family, and I mentioned that some people need to at least pray about going over to that church so that they'll get a healthy and a strong start. I didn't know who the Lord would send. I've had more than one pastor say to me, well, that's pretty unselfish for you to let go some of your own people. Well, number one, you're not my people. And number two, if we want this church to succeed, it's going to take people. And though I don't want anybody to leave, I'm so thankful that God stirred in Brother Cornwell's heart, and Brother and Sister Cornwell's heart, and Brother and Sister Johnson's heart, about the need to go. And to be honest with you, I feel like, and at least I feel from my perspective, they love Heritage Baptist Church. They weren't looking to leave because they don't like this place. I'm thankful for that. Hey, I would rather them not want to leave and leave because it's God's will than for them to leave and say, I can't wait to get away from this place. So if that's the case, you better not tell me. God moves in a person's heart. And God, just like he moved to them. Can you imagine, church family, all the people I knew from the, I say I knew, it's hindsight's 20/20. In my heart's mind, when I saw Brother and Sister Rafferty and they started coming after we had told the church family, before we met Brother and Sister Obshindik, we didn't even know they were coming, but they came to church and they were traveling from Topeka and they met with me and said, hey, listen, we came from a Baptist church and we're looking for a place. And I remember even when I told them from the first time that they came, I said, Brother and Sister Rafferty, you need to at least pray about if the Lord would have you go over to Topeka and help that church, because it's going to need people like you. The longer they were here, they started to like this place and they didn't want to leave. They sent me a letter this last week, I think it was last week, about it was a page and a half long. They typed a letter and they just talked about what Heritage means to them. But God moved in their heart. There's no way to explain that what God does in a person's heart as far as bringing people to be able to get the Capital City Baptist Church to start. We have people that we've influenced through the bus ministry that are adults, not just children, adults to the bus ministry that have been coming here. But when they found that church was started, they're starting to go there. Can I just tell you, that's not a matter of Heritage Baptist Church. It's what God does in a person's heart. I'm just trying to get you to understand that a great church is because there's a great God. God's hand is in it all. Church family, you should not be a member of the Heritage Baptist Church without seeing what God's doing in your life and family. God chose the Capital City Baptist Church. God chose the name of the Capital City Baptist Church. God chose the place of the Capital City Baptist Church. God chose the time of the Capital City Baptist Church. And it all goes back to Matthew 16, verse number 18, when he said, I will build my church. Amen. What's going to make a great, great church? I want to tell you what's going to make a great church. It's a great God. And it's not only at the beginning of the Capital City Baptist Church, it's throughout the Capital City Baptist Church. And church family, can I just remind us tonight, Heritage Baptist Church is not going to be a great church because of what it has done in the past. It's going to be a great church because of what God's doing now. We need God. We need God to continually work in our lives. We need a people that when they come to church services here, they're not coming to fulfill an obligation or a duty or a command by a parent, but that they're coming to say, Lord, I come because I want you to speak to me. I want you to show me what's the next step for my life. What do you want with me? Amen. It's God. It's always God. Amen. What makes a great Capital City Baptist Church? It'll be because it has a great God. What's going to make the great Capital City Baptist Church a great church? Not only because it's got a great God, because it's got a great book. Now, I hit it a little bit this morning because I'm sick and tired of these people trying to make their lifestyle, they're trying to make the Bible match their lifestyle instead of making the lifestyle match the book. Amen. But the Capital City Baptist Church and the Heritage Baptist Church, church family, can I just tell you something? It's not about popularity from the pulpit. It's not about you approving what I preach. There has to be something inside of us to understand that the prophets in the Old Testament, the New Testament preachers was just simply, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said. This is what we're supposed to do. Church family, it hasn't changed. They didn't like what the message was in the Old and New Testament. And I'm going to tell you, the society we're living in today, they're not going to like the message. But I want to tell you, the message is powerful. And the reason it's powerful is because it's God's word. The Bible is referred to as a rock in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. And I want to tell you, every message, it should be built upon a rock. There should be no variance when it comes to the word of God, because the word of God is always going to be right. In Jeremiah 23, 29, the Bible says that God's word is like a fire. Something ought to burn inside of us. And I know it doesn't happen every service. And by the way, there's no way for me to tell if it's the preacher, the person in the pew, if the spirit of the service. I can't always say, but I can say this thing for sure. There's been countless services that I've sat in that the Holy Spirit of God, with that still small voice, moved me and stirred me in my life. And I wanted to be different when I left. It's because the word of God is like a fire. It says the word of God is like water in John chapter 15, verse number 3, that we're clean through the word. Church family, can I tell you, when you leave church, you ought to want to be better for the Lord. It's that cleansing word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's the word of God that washes us from the inside so that we can be right on the outside. The Heritage Baptist Church, the Capital City Baptist Church, what's going to make a great church is because it's got a great book. A few weeks ago, I told the kids, now this is not what they planted. I like the flower though. I preached a message in chapel, I don't know how many weeks ago, and I was talking about what's in the heart's going to come out, and I went to Ace Hardware, and I got 60 different cups, and I bought me a big package of that potting soil, and I got me some flowers, seeds for the flowers, and then I got the actual flower of what that seed was supposed to be. What was the flower, by the way? What was it called? Marigolds. All right, so they're marigolds. So I got some real marigolds that were already, they're all real, I guess, but I got marigolds that were already grown. And I got them seeds, and in that chapel service, I gave them all their own, and I gave them the dirt in their cup, and I had the teachers go around, and they all put seeds inside that, and they were also taken back to their classrooms. I was asking the teenagers before they came out, I said, hey, by the way, how many of you, your flower's growing, all right? And, you know, several of the girls, yeah, all these sprouts are starting to come out, and they're starting to grow, and then a couple of the guys, mine didn't grow at all. You know, guys don't have green thumbs. A woman looks at it, and flowers start coming up, all right? A guy looks at it and it just wilts. I mean, it just doesn't grow. But can I just tell you that what the difference about the Capital City Baptist Church and what ought to be the difference about the Heritage Baptist Church is simply this. The soil is always the human heart. Yes. And we know that from the parable that Jesus spoke. It's the soil is the human heart. But church family, you are not going to get anything to grow unless you first have a seed. When Jesus was talking, that parable is mentioned in more than one passage, but when Jesus was talking about it, he said in Luke chapter 8, verse number 11, here's what he said, the seed is the word of God. Just remember, Capital City Baptist Church and Heritage Baptist Church is not going to have any growing in grace. They're not going to have anybody that's going to want to serve God or surrender their life if there's not a seed. It does not come from the inspirational messages of the person. It comes from the power of the word of God. I want to tell you what's going to make it. If it's going to flourish, the Capital City Baptist Church, it's going to flourish because Brother Obshenik is going to stand up there and say, this is what the Bible says. And I believe he'll do that. What makes a great church? It's because we've got a great God. What makes a great church? Because we've got a great book. We've got a great book. Without the word, all you have is a social gathering. That's all you have. Hey, I want to tell you something. You can go in Lawrence. Now, you couldn't go tonight because I don't know if there's a church that's actually in, there's not very many churches. If there is, I don't know what they are. But there's not very many churches that are having evening services anymore. Brother Shinnick, you'll find this very interesting. I was curious about what were the most liberal cities in Lawrence. I'm sorry, most liberal cities in Kansas, excuse me. And you can type it in. Just type in what is the most liberal cities in Kansas, and it gives you the top 10 cities in our state. Now, would you like to guess which city is the most liberal out of all the cities in Kansas? You're living there. Lawrence, Kansas. Isn't that a blessing? God allowed us to be in the most liberal. I didn't know that. I thought maybe Kansas City. I thought even maybe Wichita. Lawrence, the most liberal city in the state. But guess what, Brother Obshenik? You're in number 5. Not far behind us. Just, I mean, do you understand that in even where we're living and as far as our city, and by the way, Kansas is, we call a Republican state or conservative state as a whole, but God didn't place us in the most spiritual cities to start churches. He's placed us in cities that need the gospel. He's placed us in cities that people that need to know about Jesus Christ and people that know that there are people who believe that book and that God can save them and they can grow and their families can be salvaged. You've heard me say before, and I honestly probably maybe too honest sometimes in the sense of saying more than I should, but sometimes it's almost discouraging going and knocking on a door in Lawrence, Kansas because people are so rude. I was at the gas station the other day, and to be honest, I took it personal, but I was at the gas station the other day, and the lady was pumping gas next to me, and I was pumping gas, and, you know, I figured, you know, divine appointment, if this is the person I'm supposed to talk to, and so I don't start off by saying, you're going to die and go to hell. I believe, the way she treated me, I wanted to tell her, you're going to die and go to hell. I said, hello, how are you doing today? And she just kind of nodded her head, and I said, so are you from this area? And she wouldn't even look at me. She went, oh, that grated on me. I just want you to know I'm beyond slapping women. I'm just letting you know. I gave that up a long time ago. But I'm just being honest with you. When I got in that van, I just could not let it go. It bothered me. I mean, I didn't witness to her. I didn't even give her a track. I was not offensive. I was just trying to start a conversation. That's what I wanted to do. But I was just trying to start a conversation and just rude. Part of the reason going over Topeka. I like Topeka because there's common people over there. And I know that obviously the whole state's not, I mean, the whole city's not like that. But there's common people over there. You can talk to a person in Topeka and at least they'll talk to you. But God placed us in Lawrence. Our church is not in Topeka. The Capital City Baptist Church is in Topeka. They get to talk to the nice people. But I'm not ungrateful. I'm not ungrateful for where God placed me. I'm ungrateful because God chose us to be in the most liberal city of the state. God placed us here because there's still people that need the gospel. There's still people that want to get saved. Is there anybody here, you got to lead someone to Christ in the last 2 weeks in Lawrence? Raise your hand if you got to lead somebody to Christ in the last 2 weeks in Lawrence. Okay, you got to tell us about the one you got to lead to Christ. Thursday night, CJ, about 30 or so. So CJ got saved this last Thursday, so a few days ago. Hey, I think God knew that CJ would be in the most liberal city in Kansas, and he needed the gospel. And it's a good thing there was a church here for someone to go knock on his door and say, "Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven?" Because CJ got saved. Amen. Somebody else. Yes. Tell us about him, Xavier. Was that the one you were in the trailer park over North Lawrence?
Yes.
So that was 2 weeks ago.
As soon as he came to the door, he was not the type of person that I'm attracted to.
I'm glad you're sitting next to your wife. You better not be attracted to him. Confession's good for the soul, amen? Some of you be careful shaking that man's hand. That's all I got to say. Okay, who you're attracted to? Go ahead. Hey, I think Xavier is probably glad there's a church in Lawrence, Kansas that's still knocking on the door to ask, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven?
Amen.
Anybody else? Lead someone to Christ? You guys that are on the buses in town, you've got to lead anybody to Christ in recent days? Hey, can I just tell you, I know sometimes we get to the place in our life, why do we have to do this? And you know, I think our kids growing up in this particular place, and we from the time they're a teenager, you should be going door knocking, you should be going out soul winning on Thursday night or Saturday, you should be going, and as they do go, can you imagine this is all they've ever known? You know what a breath of fresh air it's going to be when they actually move somewhere else where they can talk to somebody. I'm just trying to tell you that Capital City Baptist and Heritage Baptist and Capital City being birthed out of Heritage Baptist, we understand that it's not the greatness of Heritage Baptist or the greatness of Capital City Baptist. It's great because we've got a great God, and it's great because we've got a great book. And it leads me to the last thing, and they've already made mention of it. But can I tell you why it's great? It's great because it's got a great message.
Amen.
It's got a great message. How many times have you heard in your, even here at Heritage years ago, we used to use it all the time. We should always keep the main thing. The main thing. What's the main thing of the Heritage Baptist Church? Is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the community.
Amen.
The main thing is not to have a large crowd, though a large crowd is an ends to a means to be able to get the gospel to people. Our goal is not to have the greatest activities or the greatest social events. The idea is that we're supposed to be getting the gospel, whether it's at a nursing home or a prison or a jail, or whether it's on a bus route or a Sunday school class or a church service.
Amen. Right.
Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We've got a great message. Can you imagine if you were a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or a Roman Catholic, where everything is based upon works? If you're going to get to heaven, you've got to give, or you've got to do, or you've got to go.
Amen.
I'm glad it was a free gift.
Amen.
We couldn't ask for a better message. It's free.
Amen.
Message of Jesus Christ. The church should be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Our message is a message of hope. Our message is a message of comfort and of love and of redemption. Christ's last commission before he ascended up into heaven in Acts number 1 was verse number 8. And he said, but ye shall receive power. His last commission should be our greatest or highest priority.
Amen.
But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, listen, church family. I know that you can't make it out to Thursday nights. And boy, the logistics of our church has changed. And Brother Shinnick, I was talking to another pastor here recently about the same thing. You know, when I first came here, we all get on a bus and we'd go out. And it didn't matter if it was dark or not. It wouldn't matter if it was 8 o'clock at night. When I first came to Heritage in the first 5 years, we would average 10 people saved on a Thursday night. People would go out and knock doors. People were just open. It's not that way anymore. Our society has changed. Our society about darkness has changed. Right now, to be honest with you, church family, that's one reason why I started to change things. It used to be, remember, we always kept our soul winning time. Until 3 or 4 years ago, it was always the idea. We never changed that time. But I got to the place in the winter times because of the time change. I didn't like knocking on a person's door when it's dark. Our people's mentality has changed. And then COVID has expedited that even much, much more.
Amen.
That does not give us an excuse not to go soul winning. And it has not changed the fact that people are still dying and going to hell. Listen, young people, I'm talking about you that are young married and your children are starting to grow up. Don't forget what you've done all of your life was not just something your parents taught you. It's something that you are as a Christian, and that's to tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
Capital City Baptist Church, I'm so excited for them, and I'm excited for what the Lord has already done. But church family, the greatness of it all is because of God. The greatness of it all is because of the book, and the greatness of it all is because of the message that we proclaim, and that's that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. That's what makes it great.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Right. Amen.
Heritage Baptist Church, I know that coincides tonight. I know this is the last, and again, I don't say it in a, it's a disheartening statement when I say it's the last service of Brother Johnson and Brother Cornwell, because it's not the last service, but it is for us because they're moving. And by the way, church family, and just, again, I'm, because not knowing the time, in a few short weeks, months, their membership changes. And they will be part of another church family.
Amen.
And this isn't the last one. If God tarries his coming and he allows.
Yes.
I've kind of made a decision, I guess, that I would not start to look for the next one until after May 1st. Because after May 1st, they'll start all their services. And I know they're not chartered yet. But I'm anxious about Lansing and Leavenworth, that area, as far as what's coming next. And it's not to say that God's not going to allow more families from this church to go be members of that church. If we do this long enough, it'll be just my family here. Brother Pshendek, I want to say publicly, I'm glad the Lord brought you here. I am. I'm excited about the days ahead for you, what the Lord's going to do.
Amen.
I wish we were closer. And it's not because of you, it's just because of time. I wish you knew me, and I wish I knew you, and I wish that we were close in the sense of time and experience and life, and that hadn't happened, and God knew that wasn't going to happen. I think you're going to do well. I think the Capital City of Baptist Church is going to be great. And I want to just remind all of us what makes a great church is not its pastors. And it's not its people. And it's not its program. What makes a great church is there's a God in heaven that said, I will build my church. And then gave us a book on how to do it.
Amen.
And then gave us a message to proclaim. It's real simple. It's God, it's the book, and it's that message of salvation. That's what makes a good church, great church. Church family, you're going to have to help me as I get older. Because one day, 70 years down the road might come. But we cannot lose sight of what God has done and what he wants to do.
Yes.
And we can't lose sight that this is our faith and practice.
Amen.
And we can't lose sight. We have to get the gospel out. I'm going to tell you something. If it's about people and it's not about him, God can shut the doors.
That's right.
If it's about preference and not about the principles of God's word, God can shut the door. And if we get to the place that we're not telling people about Jesus Christ, then what are we doing here?
Amen.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?